The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. And if you're a regular listener, you know I don't do many author interviews. I know that's kind of standard with radio talk shows, but I just don't do many. Unless I believe that the author has written a book that my listeners need to hear about. And that's certainly the case today. Joe Dallas has written a wonderful new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture. Joe Dallas is an author, a speaker. He is a licensed counselor. And I have been a fan of Joe Dallas and his work for many years, but I don't believe we have ever met until now. But it is my privilege to welcome Joe Dallas to the program. Joe, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me, Bob. Good being here.
Well, it is my privilege. We have a lot of friends in common, and I won't go into that. And I've actually wanted to have you on the air for a long time, and your book just pushed me to pushing for the interview, and I'm really grateful for this book, Christians in a Cancel Culture. I love the way you begin it. Chapter one, The Last Temptation. You begin by saying somebody's telling you to shut up. So what are you going to do about it? And then you talk about it depends on who said it, what they're telling you to quit saying, and how important you think your words are. Let's start there and explain what you mean by that.
Any believer who speaks the truth has been told in one way or another to shut up. That's nothing new. I mean, there are times we say things people don't want to hear, and we shrug it off because it doesn't constitute a major incident. But this has evolved into something much different than just casual conversations in which somebody says, I really wish you would not talk about your views on salvation or abortion or sexuality or transgender or racial justice. Now we are seeing a cultural crusade to officially silence the Christian position mm-hmm. on key social issues. This is what is the difference between somebody just saying, I wish you wouldn't talk, and cultural forces and influencers saying, you may not talk. And that's what's caused a lot of us to rethink, okay, wait a minute. What issues do I need to sort of allow, just we can agree to disagree on, so forth. And what issues are so primary that I really cannot compromise my position on these? I need to state where I believe. I need to practice that belief. And I cannot allow either the culture or the government or both to silence me. There are some hills worth dying on, some not worth dying on. So that's what I meant when I opened the book by saying, somebody's telling you to shut up, so what are you going to do about it? Well, it depends on who's saying it and what they're telling you to stop saying. And I think the rest of the book expounds on that point.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have allowed this philosophy to come into the evangelical church, that our greatest desire is to be liked. You know, we got to get along, mm-hmm. go along to get along. If we're Christians and we're really followers of Jesus, then everybody will love us. And Joe, just this morning, I was reading in John 15, where Jesus once again told his disciples, hey guys, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If you follow mm-hmm. me, expect the world to misunderstand you. Expect the world to hate you. How have we gotten to the place where the prime motivation for many Christians is just to be liked and accepted?
Bob, I think when you have Christians who are embracing faith in Jesus without embracing the call to discipleship, this is what you get. The call to discipleship is a call to keep learning and growing. If you're a disciple, you study the Word. If you simply believe in Jesus, you kind of leave it at that. You may go to church and you feel a bit nice about things and you say you love the Lord, but you don't have much by way of sound doctrine to give you spiritual maturity. The Word is not taking root in you. And it's by the Word of God that we discern what is true and what is not. Therefore, just suppose I become a Christian and for years I seldom read the Bible. I go to church and I hear nice sermons. I fellowship with people, but I don't really apply myself to growing in the faith. Then I'm going to be susceptible to what the culture is saying because I'm going to be influenced by something. If not by the Word of God, I'll be influenced by what is around me. Mm-hmm. What is around me is a massive crusade saying, hey, people should be nice to each other, and your primary job is to be nice to people, and your primary job is to make sure you say nothing which offends anybody. And if you take that as the rule you're supposed to live by, that's how you wind up thinking, well, I guess the most important thing for us to do is to be liked, for the world to like us and to feel good about us and for all of us to get along. The problem is, of course, you cannot hold essential positions without somebody taking the contrary position. And as a result, you're going to often find yourself, if you're following him, going against the way of the world, which is exactly why he said what you just quoted, Bob. Yeah. If the world hated me, it'll hate you. Why? Because you're going to believe what I believe. You're going to accept the truth that I teach. You're not going to go out and try to make trouble, but you are going to know and live and express these vital truths, and that's going to sometimes get you into some very hot water.
Well, and you certainly have been there. Again, I don't know that you and I have ever talked personally, but I've watched your ministry for years, and I have never read anything that you have written that espouses hate. In fact, you have espoused exactly the opposite, particularly for those that are struggling with their sexuality and so forth. And yet, from afar, I have watched you being attacked in just the most vicious ways. Now, just you personally, the vicious attacks that you have been the brunt of, have you ever even considered, you know what, I just need to keep quiet and go sit in a corner and read my Bible?
Oh, not within the last 7 minutes. Yeah, been there, considered that, but didn't do it. But
yeah.
Here's the deal. I mean, I'm just a little tougher. I 34 years ago, my ministry started. By the grace of God, I was able to start offering biblically-based counseling to people who wanted to overcome homosexuality. Sounds pretty tame, huh? Well, you'd think it would be. But as the years passed, I found that just by virtue of helping people resist that particular sin, that was putting me in the crosshairs of people who wanted to legitimize that sin. And that's when I realized I'm not going to be able to just minister to people who want my help. I'm going to also have to defend my right under God and as an American citizen to offer that help. So it's a lot like Nehemiah's guys found themselves doing. They're building with one hand. They got a tool. But in the other hand, you got to have a weapon. And I think that's the times we're in, Bob. I think that's true of all of us now.
Yeah, very true. We're talking with Joe Dallas. He is the author of a wonderful new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World. Joe, you've done enough radio interviews. You know the deal. I've got to take a commercial break. We will be back quickly. And my guest is Joe Dallas. Again, the book, Christians in a Cancel Culture. Order it today. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
My guest, Joe Dallas, author of a brand new book, Christians in a Cancel Culture. Joe, let's define What is cancel culture? What do you mean by cancel culture?
Yeah, Bob, that's one of those terms that keeps seeming to morph in its meaning, but it is, in essence, a cultural movement to either silence opposing viewpoints or cancel the voice, influence, or history of people the movement finds objectionable. So in the broadest sense, it is a massive form of censorship. And I'm glad that it's called cancel culture because it's essentially made up of cultural influences, mm-hmm. like academia, social media, news media, the entertainment industry. It is not necessarily the government stepping in, although we're seeing the beginnings of that as well, but it's more a corporate and a social phenomena. And for that reason, I call it cancel culture. It includes, of course, the woke movement, the social justice movement, mm-hmm. and even the more radical identity political movements like Black Lives Matter or Antifa.
Let's come back to my primary concern, and that's the evangelical church. I know that in many instances, many evangelical churches have adopted a policy, philosophy that the controversial issues, marriage, family, gender, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, these are volatile and divisive issues, and so we will just talk about and preach about the love of Jesus, and we'll just try to remain neutral on these issues. Joe Dallas, can evangelical churches remain neutral?
Not if we are being the church we are meant to be, Bob. Of course, we can at least appear to remain neutral, but we shouldn't. And I think it's a dereliction of duty when we do. Look, I think a lot of people mistakenly assume either I have to really shoot my mouth off like a jerk and be aggressive and judgmental, or I need to be timid and quiet and very passive. The fact is, nobody, at least I'm certainly not, advocating an aggressive, obnoxious approach to all of this. I am saying that if we are going to fulfill our job description as ambassadors, the key responsibility of the ambassador is to be faithful to the person who sent him. Then we concentrate on how well we are received by the people we are sent to. But we answer to the sender. So the question becomes, what message have we been commissioned to give? Well, that's wrapped up in Jesus' great commission, isn't it? Preach the gospel, make disciples. You can't do that if you are not clear on the basics, that there is such a thing as life, death, heaven, hell, right, wrong, sin, and righteousness. You can't do it. Thereby, there is no way to be faithful to our commission to preach the gospel and to make disciples without saying things that some people will find offensive. And Bob, if I may, full disclosure, I'm a former gay activist. From 1978 mm-hmm. to 1984, I was very committed to the pro-gay movement. When I was a part of that movement, we counted on two things from the church. We counted on the church to be hostile, and we counted on the church to be passive. We counted on hostility, and we counted on passivity. We counted on the church to be hostile. That is, we loved it when Christians said obnoxious, stupid things. Mm-hmm. When some Christians called us animals or faggots or disgusting and so forth, we loved it because we thought, okay, we can use that to prove that the church hates them and right. discredit the church. But we also counted on the church being intimidated. That was the other end of the spectrum because we thought, hey, if we can scare these people into thinking that if they're not nice, we're going to say they're hateful and nobody will like them, then we've also won. We can shut them up either way, either discredit them for their hostility or take advantage of their passivity. And I think that we're seeing that same dynamic today. Much of the church is becoming passive, I think partially in reaction to the bad press we've gotten. I think we're believing our own bad press mm-hmm. because many Christians really believe that if you simply say, I believe marriage is a heterosexual union, that alone constitutes some form of bigotry. So again, I think it gets back to biblical discernment, Bob. We have to look at what our job description is and how Scripture teaches us to fulfill it.
In one of the last chapters of your book, you make the point that there is a common denominator between the hot-button issues, abortion, homosexuality, race, which is just such a hot topic right now, progressive Christianity. We often think that those are all separate issues, but you make the point that there's a common denominator here. Can you, and we're going to run out of time here, but would you quickly give us your thoughts on that? Because I found that fascinating.
Bob, I think the common denominator is spiritual. I think that if I hated humanity as much as Satan does, I would want to first prevent conception so that life wouldn't even be conceived, and thereby I would confuse the sexes by either confusing their gender identity or their sexual orientation. If life was conceived, because I hate life, I would then try to get life aborted. I would want it to be killed within the womb. If it was born, then I would try to keep it from ever being born again. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I would teach that salvation comes through social justice, not faith in the cross. I would convince people that there are many ways to God, that Jesus didn't really know what he was talking about when he said he's the only way, and that you must be born again. Thereby, I would do all I could to promote abortion, the critical race theory, homosexuality, transgender, and progressive Christianity, because I think all of them fulfill that goal of preventing life.
All right, we've got about 1 minute left, and the final question I always try to ask authors on my program. When someone picks up Christians in a Cancel Culture, they read it cover to cover, sit it down. What is the take home that you want for that reader to take home from your book?
I wrote the book so that the reader would be better equipped to have conversations about these five issues with people who hold either a more liberal view, a more secular view. I wanted people to be able to explain why they believe what they believe. I did that by providing sample conversations and talking points that the reader can follow. I wanted the reader to also be equipped with deeper insight into the urgency of these issues. So I hoped the reader would get insight. I hoped the reader would be equipped.
Well, they will be if they read the book. It is published by Harvest House Publishers, but you can order it at Amazon. You go to your local bookstore and simply say, I want Christians in a Cancel Culture, subtitle, Speaking with Truth and Grace in a Hostile World, and the author is my guest, Joe Dallas. Joe, I am just so grateful for your work through the years. Again, I have been a fan of yours for many years, and I am just so grateful for the ministry that God has given you, and I believe God's going to use this book in a great way. Christians in a Cancel Culture by Joe Dallas. Joe, God bless you.
Thanks so much for having me, Bob. God bless.
Absolutely my pleasure. Christians in a Cancel Culture, the author again, Joe Dallas. All right, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.